In Mark, the second chapter, and I would like for you to follow me closely because we're going to talk about a real Jesus revival. In Mark, the second chapter, we see this beautiful story of a real Jesus revival. And again, Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that Jesus was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they came unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why do you reason these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise, take up thy bed and walk? And I tell you that the power and the anointing of the Spirit of God is just all over my being as I read that verse. Which is easier to say to this man who is sick of the palsy, Your sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed, and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. Now I want to talk to you about a real Jesus revival. And as I'm ministering to you, I'm monitoring my own heart this morning. America must have greater revival. It's happening in pockets. It's happening in Baptist churches and Methodist churches and charismatic churches. And we hear of reports of wonderful things that are happening. But America must have a major revival from coast to coast and border to border. I just happened to pick up a paper at the hospital the other day. It happened to be the Dallas Morning News. And I'm not going to dwell on it, but here it is on the front page. One killed, 23 injured at Oregon school. This is school, folks. This is not on the streets. This is not in the ghettos. This is in school. The parents of the boy held in shooting also are found dead. And then, of course, they're going back and remembering the shooting in Jonesboro, Arkansas, and there's mourning over that. Then the DART, Dallas Transit officials tell us that the police now are to ride on all nighttime trains in wake of abuse incident. I mean, it just goes on and on. It just goes on and on. Of all the things, it could have been Fort Worth Star-Telegram, or it could have been Dallas Morning News, but what is it, some five incidents of young people with guns now coming into schools. And you just don't know what's going to set somebody off. People are living on the edge. I personally feel, and you might feel like it would be taking away the freedom of speech and so on, but I mean, this is all our kids see in the movies. It's all our kids see on television. It's all our kids see on video. The bloodier the better it sells. And so we just keep cranking it out. We're living in a generation when so many young people do not know right from wrong. And I know there's a hot contention about the Ten Commandments in the courtroom. Dear God, if we don't get back to understanding what the Ten Commandments teaches. We've never preached you're saved by the Ten Commandments, but you better know something of the Ten Commandments to know how to live life. So what I'm saying is we need a real Jesus revival in America. We need a real New Testament, Book of Acts, Jesus revival in the United States of America, from the White House to the Least House. Now, as we think of this real Jesus revival, first of all, a real Jesus revival is again. Christians revive to their first love again. And again, he, Jesus, entered into Capernaum after some days. Again, he enters into Capernaum. So you gave your heart to Jesus last year. Where are you today? Where is your first love today? I mean, I was raised in a day that if I said certain things to my parents that I hear being said today, I wouldn't wake up for a week. And when I did wake up, I'd be doing good to get one eye open. Not because of child abuse, but because we had law and order in our house. It was patriotic all the time. I saw the stars and the stripes. But a lot of people think revival is a lot of people coming to Jesus. No, revival is again. Returning to our first love. Again, returning to the roots, to the first love. Look at this man who stood before us in uniform this morning. Somebody taught the man right. Somebody instilled values into his heart that touched my heart deeply. As he reminded us of just that one phase of commandment. Honor thy father and mother for length of days, for a long life. A real Jesus revival is again. Christians revived again. Christians returning to their first love again. And again Jesus entered into Capernaum after some days. Psalms 85 and 6 said, revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee. Revive us again. You say, well, Pastor, we have a lot of wonderful services here at Calvary Cathedral and a lot of wonderful things happen. Yes, but I need daily revival and refreshing and renewal again and again and again. I must say there was a time I thought, well, you had hands laid on you last week. What's wrong with you? But I do believe that we need that imparting of the anointing through the laying on of hands as often as possible. Acts 3:19 said, repent ye therefore and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. What God is saying is get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. The summer of 93, it took us about 10 days. But thank God there was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God. And then we had through the summer some 6 weeks of mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Acts 3:19, the Amplified said, so repent, change your mind and your purpose, turn around and return to God. Revival is change, repentance, turning around and returning to God. Returning to God, that your sins may be blotted out, wiped clean so that you can be ready for and experience times of refreshing from the presence of God. Oh, don't you hear the language of the Word of God? Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready for refreshing. Get ready for renewal. Get ready for God to refill you and overflow your life. Some of the old dictionaries, before they were tampered with, the meaning of revival is renewed attention to something that has been ignored or forgotten. You know what really touched my heart in January of 93? I realized I want my children, I want my grandchildren, I want their children not to grow up in a staid, formal, cold church where they see two or three people beg to come forward and change their membership on Sunday morning. I want my children and my grandchildren and their children to see people born again in the house of God on Sunday and Thursday. I want my children to see a church that prays. I want my children and my grandchildren to see a church that reaches out in missions. We don't just send money to get them out of our way, but we send money because we've discovered the power of partnership, that partners catch more fish. Renewed attention to something that has been ignored or forgotten. Renewed interest in religion after indifference and decline. Also, to be revival is to be revived from a state of languor or depression. You wonder why there's so much depression today? Because there's so little revival. The joy of the Lord will chase depression and oppression. Mood swings. You get someone full of the Holy Spirit and the joy of the Lord manifesting in their life, and I'm telling you, a lot of things take care of themselves. Went on to say, Mr. Webster said in the old dictionary, an evangelistic meeting or a series of evangelistic meetings often characterized by emotional excitement. You can't even buy groceries without hippity-hop music. Everywhere you go, the movies do not sell their products with funeral dirges. You go out to Texas Stadium. I wish I could go more. But I mean, boy, they've got the organ going. And I mean, they have this popping in the screens. And I mean, it's a scene of excitement to lift you out of the boredom of some of your lives. Oh, I tell you, the most exciting place in any city ought to be the house of God. I invited a couple of nurses this last week. They said, what kind of church is it? I said, well, let me tell you this. I said, it's not a dead church. He said, well, that sounds good to me. I said, if you could go to sleep in our church, you deserve it. You earned it. I've had people who work a night shift say, I come and I'm so tired I can hardly hold my eyes open, but I wake up, and when I wake up, I get some more. You'll get more by accident than you get on purpose in some places. Just come on. It's restoration to the consciousness of new life. Life. Pinch yourself and see if you're living. Thank God revival is a return to the consciousness of new life. Man, you look into the countenances of so many young people. You know, it's just cool. Ain't no, you don't smile, man. That ain't cool. You look sad, man. You got to look badder than the guy next to you. Oh, listen to me. Thank God the happiest place in any city ought to be the house of God. We're not a bunch of walking corpses. Thank God we're a group of believers that are born again. Our sins are forgiven. We're filled with God's Spirit. We're going to heaven when we die, but we're going to enjoy some heaven on the way to heaven. A real Jesus revival is returning again to the roots and to the foundations that gave us life, and that more abundantly. Repenting, changing our minds. And I don't know about you, I repent along the way. Often I have to change my mind. Often I have to change. You can be heading in one direction. God says turn around and go in the other direction. It's change and being willing to change. So a real Jesus revival is again returning again. Revival is repentance. It's hunger and thirsting for more of Jesus. It's turning around and change and real hilarious joy, which always leads to a big time harvest. Thank God I'm crying out with Psalms 8, 92 and 10. I shall be anointed with fresh oil. I have been, but I shall be anointed with fresh oil. Joy is one characteristic of this returning again. In the New Testament, you find the word chara, which means cheerfulness, delight, gladness, great exceeding joy. Joy is good. Sadness is bad. Sadness dries your bones, but joy releases God's healing power and God's life inside of you. Joy. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and joy, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our strength. In Acts chapter 20, verse 24, Paul said, I want to finish my course with joy. Oh, that's been a cry of my heart for years. I don't want to finish my course in sadness and bitterness, sarcasm, don't trust anybody, what's happened to me. I want to finish my course with joy. I want to have an abundant entrance. And I cannot get around Acts the 8th chapter when Philip went down to that city in Samaria and preached Christ unto them. And there was great joy in that city. A New Testament church is characterized by the joy of the Lord. Returning again to that joy, that real, sincere joy. You know, we all start alike. Everyone starts alike. We start so happy, and we're so thrilled, we're saved, we're so glad our sins are forgiven. Nothing makes any difference. We want to go to church all the time. We want to read our Bible all the time. We want to pray all the time. We give, and they say, can't we give some more? And new converts proverbially will come and say, can't we have another service around here? I said, dear God, we're going 7 days a week. When you just find Jesus, you can't get enough. You really can't stop praising His name. You really can't stop praying unto Him. You really never get tired of giving unto the Lord. Go home broke, just happy as a little bird in a tree. Thank God that's the way you went home from the bar anyway. That's the way you went home from the dope dealer anyway. Broke. But there was no reward in what you gave the dope dealer and the liquor store operator. But thank God every deposit we make in the kingdom of God. Get ready, get ready, get ready, get ready. Thank God we're not giving away, we're depositing. We are investing. We're partners in something really wonderful. Little Betty, I don't know if she's here this morning. She came forward. Oh, thank God. When she first came to our church, she came up and she said, well, you don't have to have church all night. Her little daughter brought her, and daughter's been a missionary for years. She brought her mother there to the church, and she was... You know, she'd come, but she'd a little frustrated. We just a little too loud. We just a little too long, you know. But oh, thank God, God touched Betty's life. And God set her free from alcoholism. She couldn't afford a car because she was paying the liquor store her car payments. What would have been car payments? One day after she had bought her a nice car, she went by the liquor store and the man said, well, we sure have been missing you. She said, I haven't been missing you. She said, come out here. I want to show you what I bought with what I used to give you. Thank God. Thank God. All her money used to go for liquor. But now she can spend some money on things that she really needs. No wonder Paul said, and I say, and you should say, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Thank God for the gospel. Real Jesus revival is again getting back to the roots, going back again to where it all started. Secondly, a real Jesus revival, you'll notice that Jesus targets key cities and key locations. Key cities and key locations. I'm not going to spend a long time, but this is good material. He entered into Capernaum, and it was noised abroad that he was in the house. Jesus targets key cities, and Jesus targets key locations. I know occasionally there'll be a John the Baptist in the wilderness, and there's some wonderful churches that are out, very difficult to find, and that is not a negative toward that. But if you'll notice, there was a Toronto. Everyone in the free world knows where Toronto, Canada is. So God targeted that city. And then down in Florida, God targeted another city. In 1993, there was a Fort Worth. Downtown Fort Worth. Can any good thing come out of Fort Worth? Yes. It used to always be it's coming from somewhere else. But the Spirit of God from this location by satellite has gone all over the free world where satellites can go. I'm telling you, God is so awesome. Oh, yes. And so there was a Toronto, and there was a Pensacola, and there was a Fort Worth. And then because there was a Fort Worth, then there was a Saskatoon, Saskatchewan up in Canada. Most people can't even spell it. But thank God there's a red hot revival that's been going for months up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, Canada. And the reports keep coming in from many wonderful churches across the country and many wonderful field ministries because there was breakthrough and breakout in this house. It went to many different parts of the world. Oh, I say thank God that God targets cities, God targets key cities, and God targets locations. It's interesting. He chose Jerusalem, the hub, the center, Jerusalem. He commanded 500 to do it and 120 did it. The ratio is about the same today. Don't wait for everybody to do it. You do it. Don't wait for everybody to pray. You pray. Don't wait for everybody to give. You give. Don't wait for everyone to sing. You sing. You do it. And before long, many others will be doing it. And so it was in Jerusalem from 120 that obeyed the command of Jesus. 3,000 precious, ever-living, never-dying souls came to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice, in a real Jesus revival, Jesus targets key cities and key locations. In a real Jesus revival, it's noisy. Yes, Pastor, I wanted to talk to you about that. It's either too quiet or too noisy. The day of Pentecost was noisy. You know, I've really come to a conclusion. You say, is there any virtue in noise? Brother Nichols, you know, God's not hard of hearing. No, but He's not nervous either. On the day of Pentecost, can you imagine? There was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind. Filled all the house where they were sitting. Man, that must have been awesome. And there were tongues like as of fire. The fire of God began to burn. What Joel prophesied is coming began to burn. Oh, there were multitudes that were swept into the kingdom of God. And before long, not only 3,000, but thank God there was 5,000 that were swept into the kingdom of God. And on the story goes, until the Bible said that all of Jerusalem was saturated with His doctrine. And the known world of that day and time was conscious of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, He entered into Capernaum, and it was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. But remember, a real Jesus revival is noisy. Revivals are characterized by lively, spirited, upbeat music. I really don't think you can have a quiet day of Pentecost. Just my personal opinion, but I believe that with all my heart. I've been in some services where there was such a holy roar. You couldn't manufacture a holy roar like that. I know it happened up in Saskatoon one night. I was in camp meeting in Tulsa. Oh, it's been several years ago when there was a volume of praying in the Spirit. I don't know of anything I've ever been touched with that was any greater than that moment. It was just, they went on. There was no cheerleaders. No one was saying, come on and let's do it. They just encouraged people to praise the Lord. And there was a volume of praise and praying in the Spirit. And it must have gone on for 30 or 40 minutes. You can't manufacture something like that. Only God can do that. So don't worry about it being so noisy. It's going to be noisy in hell too. And there will be 30 minutes of silence in heaven to get you adjusted for what's coming. And then all of heaven's going to break loose. Hey, it doesn't always have to be noisy, but I'm telling you, just get ready. because it's hard to have a quiet day of Pentecost. A real Jesus revival is based upon the preached word of God. And Jesus preached the word unto them. It's right here in Mark chapter 2. Jesus preached the word. There must be a foundation of anointed Bible preaching. And I've never seen a revival yet that was not based on the true preached word of God that kept going in the right direction. Now, sometimes it takes some deep plowing to break revival loose. And once revival explodes, then you don't have to drop the plow so deep. And there will be times when maybe just a praise service or a worship service or a healing service, or God has many different times and seasons. But always there must be the foundation of the Word of God. Listen very carefully to me. Anything is going to drift into heresy if it doesn't have the true foundation of anointed Bible preaching. It must be. Praise the Lord. Jesus preached the Word. You know, that astonishes a lot of people. We thought Jesus was a sweet little teacher. Jesus was a teacher, but Jesus was a preacher. Jesus was a preacher, but Jesus was a teacher. Jesus was a healer, but Jesus was also a soul winner. Jesus was a soul winner, but He was also a prayer. Revival is all of it. Thank God for prayer. Thank God for anointed praise and worship and singing the high praises of God. And it's impossible to have a real revival without anointed giving. It's true. When you're truly saved and truly revived, it will go to your pocketbook. A real Jesus revival will gather a crowd. You know, I hate to admit it, but I must confess my humanity. I was driving home the other day and I saw two ambulances and three fire trucks. And every instinct in me says, Bob, you're older than that, but at the next exit, I'm right behind them. We all like to find out where the fire is, don't we? Real fire will draw a crowd. Real fire will draw a crowd. People just, one day, haven't done that in a long time, but one day I did that, and there were three fire trucks, and there was a doghouse on fire. And there were cars up and down the street. I said, what's on fire? They said, a doghouse. And people were just watching like they'd never seen anything burn in their life. Grown people watching firemen put out fire in a doghouse. I tell you, people will go where the fire is. Oh, let God set your bush on fire. And straightway many were come together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them. Thank God, thank God. A real Jesus revival is people bringing people to Jesus. How many would like to have seen twice as many come to the Lord, or three times as many come to the Lord as we saw this morning? Well, you're no kind of a believer unless you would respond to that. I have my hand up. But you know how we can see twice as many come to Jesus? We bring more people for the Lord to work with. Oh, Brother Nichols, we want to see more people come to Jesus. Go out and bring more people in. It's the way it works. You bring them in. You see, straightway, the house was full. And they came unto Him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was carried or borne by four. Bringing people to Jesus. You know, these four men were faith men. They went out and find this man that's been through all kinds of misery, and they con him or talk him or coerce him into letting them pick up his cot and go to church. Now, this story gets a little deeper. They go to church, and you can't even get in the door. There is no room to go in the door. This man permitted them to carry him up on the roof and systematically tear this roof apart piece by piece by piece. And the roofs to this day, there's dirt, there's grass growing on the house. Can't you imagine Jesus trying to preach and dirt's falling through on his head? and pieces of the roof are coming through. And now who in that condition is going to let four men lower you from a height of elevation down to the feet of Jesus? You talk about four faith men. These were four faith men, but that man on that cot was a faith man too. It's amazing what happens when we put our faith together. I said it's amazing what happens when we put our faith together. A real Jesus revival is people bringing people to Jesus. It's amazing how many people I've talked to the last few days that said, somebody brought me to Calvary and I accepted the Lord Jesus as my personal Savior. People bringing people. Can't you see four sets of smiling teeth as Jesus looks up and here comes this man lowered into their midst? Can't you see those four happy faith men? I mean, just so thrilled. They said, okay, Jesus, he's yours now. We had the faith to bring him to church. We had the faith to go up on the roof. We had the faith to tear the roof up. We had faith to lower him at your feet. Now it's yours, Jesus. Can't you see those men just waiting, just waiting? Oh, thank God, thank God. Are you expecting something today? Are you expecting something today? A real Jesus revival stirs up radical faith. Revival really stirs up radical faith. Remember, they really tore the roof apart to get this man to Jesus. Real revival stirs up radical faith and prayer, radical praise and worship, radical living, radical giving. I saw during the revival of 93 people taking their sick leave days so they could come to revival. Now that's a good way to use your sick leave days. There were people that used their vacations to come for revival. Well, Brother Nichols, you mean go to church? Let me tell you something. When you fall in love with Jesus, you'll do anything. You're willing to do anything. I've seen listen, I'm addicted to thanking God for some of the most powerful fanatics on the face of God's earth. And many of them attend this church right here. My mother was a fire-breathing fanatic. I mean, you didn't wake up on Sunday morning and say, Mama, I don't feel good. She said, we can fix that. And she'd come in with that big bottle of olive oil. It wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it. Get out of bed and go to church. Oh, thank God, thank God. I was raised around some fanatical givers. Just let me thank God this morning. Oh, I thought I was the most misused, abused young man. When everybody else was going to the other things, I had to go to church and I had to go to revival. And some people said it was just going to ruin me. Yeah, it just set me up to be, thank God, 34 years the pastor of the same church. Just set me up to travel all over the world to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Sat on the front row and listened to some of the best preaching. That's why we encourage parents, get your kids in where they can hear the word of God. And there's nothing righteous about the back of someone's head at the back of the auditorium. Times I've wondered if my grandchildren were hearing anything, and Robbie would get home and word for word tell you exactly what I said. I don't know how they can do three things at one time. They're better at it than we are. Oh, stirs up radical faith. I want to be a radical pastor. I want to be a radical man of prayer. I want to be a radical faith man. I don't want to be normal. I don't want to be average. There's too many average preachers. Too many average believers. God, make us radical. Radical soul winners. Radical in our faith toward God. We didn't come downtown on a little pablum faith. We came down, if I'd thought it through, I would run. But oh, when those elements of faith are stirred up within you, when the Holy Ghost says go, I mean, you just say, how far do I jump and which way do I go, God? God, make us radical. We're too normal. I said we're too normal. God, make us radical. Radical praise and worship people. Radical in the field of prayer. Radical givers unto God. Radical fathers and mothers that raise their children to serve God. Radical! I don't want Calvary Cathedral International to be just another church. I want us to be a radical church. Radical Jesus people. God, help us not to cool off and settle down. A real Jesus revival stirs up radical religious persecution. You know, you really don't have good revival until you get the religious folks stirred up. Amen? You really don't have revival until you get religion stirred up. And so they begin to reason among themselves. Now, this is not the way we learned it in the seminary. This is not what our pastor has taught us through the years. I know there's a time to do things decently and in order. Certainly I know that. But I'm telling you, I'm reaching out, folks. We're not going to save our nation with being same old, same old. Real Jesus revival stirs up radical religious persecution. And it's not the sinners as much as it is religious people. People who refuse to change. But change is the order of the day. A real religious spirit would still put Jesus on the cross to this very day. You go to Israel, you can see him walking down the street. They'd put him on the cross and never shed a tear and thank God for the privilege of it. Real religion will still put Jesus on the cross. But real Jesus people will accept the resurrected Savior. A real Jesus revival, things happen that some people have never seen before. Now, let me ask you this. Do you realize there's a lot that you haven't seen and there's a lot I haven't seen? You say, well, I've grown up in this and I've seen it all and I know it all. And about that time, you might as well say, I don't know much of anything. You know, the further you go in the things of God, if there's anything I'm aware of today, there's so much I don't know. And there's so much I want to know. I thank God for the basics. Hey, I thank God for the basics. I'm solid on those. But I'm telling you, there's so many ways to reach people. There's so many ways to do things. There's such realms of God's grace. There are so many ways to reach out and touch this world. God, expand our thinking. Expand our understanding. Oh, things happen. I mean, up until this time, I don't read of anything in the Bible where someone tore a roof up to lower somebody in the presence of Jesus. Until Jesus came along, I mean, still, I've never read of anybody that just spat in someone's eye. And I'm not trying to be foolish with it. I mean, you know, there are things that we haven't seen. I'm going to tell you what, if you were blind and Jesus spit in some clay and put that on your eyes, you wouldn't care. You wouldn't care. As long as you could see, you wouldn't care. But I think there's some religious people that would rather stay blind than reach out and do things that they've never seen before. Oh, there was so much. In fact, you know, we read the four Gospels and we say, oh, isn't that wonderful? But the Bible said if all the works that Jesus did while he was on this earth were written and put in, no library could hold all the volumes of the miracles. These are just the top of the cream. Things happen that people have never seen before. Glory to God. In a real Jesus revival, Jesus is the star who receives all the glory. And I believe I'm seeing something that's coming. There's a groundswell that's coming, and I believe even with our own daughter. You know, Joel, we were talking about the other day, God's doing things to where he's going to get all the glory. God's sick and tired of some preacher getting the glory, some pastor getting the glory, some evangelist getting all the glory. Oh, God, give us a real Jesus revival where Jesus is the star who receives all the glory. Thank God, thank God. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men nigh unto me. In a real Jesus revival, thank God, it always results in harvest. That's why we have on this pulpit, it's under my Bible and some notes here. I'm getting a lot of comments about it. It's right here. Praise God, it's already happened here this morning. People have already come to Jesus. Please give a clear-cut salvation altar call at every service. It's right here on the pulpit. right here on the pulpit. I don't care how big the ministry is or how small the ministry is. I want them to call people to Jesus. You say, well, maybe only one will come. That one's worth the service that morning or that night. Multiply that and you have a wonderful, wonderful harvest of souls. Billy Graham was the only soul that was saved in one revival so many years ago. Was that one soul worth it? Yes. Oh, there's a harvest of souls. You've heard it, but I'm going to tell it all the days of my life. I'll never forget one Sunday morning when I left service in the old location. Went to my study. I felt like I'd spit cotton that morning. Half the people didn't show up. Half the teachers didn't show up. I mean, it was a preacher killing Sunday. And I went to my study and fell on my face before God. Usually when I get through preaching, I'm ready to eat some food. But that Sunday morning, I didn't want anything to eat. I said, God, I'll do anything that's right and I'll do anything that works to win people to Jesus. I'll do anything that's right and I'll do anything that works to win people to Jesus. God heard that prayer, and it was hardly 10 days later until a group of hippies came into the office and said, we want to use your auditorium for a few nights. We've had a great revival across the city, but they say that we're going to scare off all the money people, and so we need to find ourselves another church. And I almost said, no, I don't believe so. We'd never had drums in our church. No, sirree. We'd never had electric guitars in our church. No, sirree. Oh, we were redneck. Yes, we were. Oh, yes, we were decent and in order and hardly winning anybody to Jesus. And the church was about to kill me. And I said, we'll try it for a week. And that 1 week turned into, someone told me that I believe it was some 13 weeks. Some said it was more than that. I just know it was wonderful. And every night, all of a sudden, seats that were vacant, these young people coming in and bringing their friends to Jesus. Some even brought their dogs in. It was wild. Park their Volkswagen outside and bring their dog in. Some of them came barefooted, and some of them, one night I was looking and I said, oh God, this is not the way that I've seen it in church before. See, you'll see things that you've never seen before. I'd rather them come barefoot and get saved than come all flucid up and walk out without knowing Jesus. Night after night. I can't tell you what happened in my heart. If you've got a passion for souls and all of a sudden every night you're seeing people come to Jesus, my God, there's nothing else. There's nothing else. We hired city transit buses. We went into 14 high schools and junior highs. That's when you could go in and had pretty good liberty at that point in 1970. And then we'd bust them into church that night, and thank God they'd come in. A ragged, motley-looking crew, and there were some strange things that happened. One night an usher said, Pastor, there's an electrical fire in the building. And I said, well, I don't understand that. And another saved hippie said, oh, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Somebody's got a joint at the back of the auditorium. So we got the joint put out. At least there was some fire in church. Oh, God, we want to see a harvest of souls. Now we believe God for 60-plus souls a week. But, oh, I want to see hundreds of souls come to Jesus. Oh, our church was never the same again. Some of the old guard came up and said, them hippies are getting our seats. I said, get here earlier. All of a sudden, favorite seats were not sacred seats. When the doors were open, it was... They weren't going anywhere anyway. They just hang out and wait for the doors to open. Oh, thank God, thank God. Folks, we need another real Jesus revival. I'm not just talking about hippies. I'm talking about double-breasted suit hippies. I'm talking about upper echelon. I'm talking about Wall Street. I'm talking about education. I'm talking about the arts. We need a real Jesus revival all over our city and all over our metroplex. We need a real Jesus revival. In a real Jesus revival, there is the double cure. Jesus said, which is easier to say, thy sins be forgiven thee, or rise, take up thy bed and walk. You say, preacher, what does that mean? I'm after finding out everything that means. I believe, and every preacher on our staff and this church believes with all of our heart, that salvation is by grace through faith, not of works, lest men should boast. We believe that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. We believe that when people believe in Jesus, that they'll get saved every time. Maybe they've murdered 20 people, 5 people. How many people have the Apostle Paul murdered? God only knows. We believe it. There's not a shadow of doubt that when someone calls upon the name of the Lord, they'll be born again. God, give us the same faith to believe for signs and wonders and miracles and healings. It's the same faith. One of the most powerful faith messages that has ever been preached in this church was preached by Thomas Trask on that Tuesday night. And I've been meditating on Mark 2 ever since that night. Really, which is easier to say? Rise, take up thy bed and walk, or say thy sins be forgiven thee. It's the same faith. It's the same faith. When a real Jesus revival comes, it sets the captives free. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because He hath anointed me. Oh God, send that Spirit. Hallelujah. For the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for He hath anointed me. I just was reflecting in the last few hours about some of the conversions that we've seen over the years. I remember a young man that came in. He had cutoffs, no shirt. His hair was below his hindquarters. Had not had a toothbrush for 2 years. Had done nothing but hitchhike coast to coast and get drugs, or hitchhike with people and do drugs. He was a Baptist preacher's son. But thank God he came in that Jesus revival and was born again and filled with the Spirit. I can still see him. He'd come into church. He said, I won't bother anything. Could I just come in? And he had a Bible and a legal pad. He started with Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I don't know how far he got with it, but started writing the Bible out one verse at a time. You say, what came out of that? God gave him his mind back. He couldn't put sentences together. He couldn't think coherently. But thank God, the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ touched his life. And he became one of the most powerful workers that this church has ever had, going out to reach other young people. Just sitting down like a child, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and started writing out the Bible on a legal pad. Friends, you can't get involved with Jesus without it changing your life. You can't get involved with prayer without it changing your life. You can't get involved in coming to church and worshiping God without it really changing your life. God, deliver us from our little silly cat fights and attitudes and sarcasms and criticisms. God, wake us up! All that matters is Jesus. I don't care what color car you drive or house you live in or what the color of your skin is. Let's get past those silly things. In this day and time when there's hate mongers and hate merchants trying to put the blacks against the whites and the Hispanic against the blacks, we're not going to buy into that at Calvary. We're going to love whoever walks through these doors, and they're going to be welcome, and we're going to love them, and they're going to come to Jesus. Because in a real Jesus revival, lives are supernaturally changed. On the day of Pentecost, there was every color of skin. There was every language. What an assortment of humanity. But a soul is a soul wherever you find a soul. The cry of my heart, Jesus came again to Capernaum. The cry of my heart is, Lord, come again. In greater glory, in greater might, and in greater power to Calvary Cathedral International. Lord, start the work in this pastor's heart this morning. God, do a new work in me. Teenager walked up to me that, like a lot of teenagers around here, like I used to be, that really probably hadn't been that serious about the things of God, I think. Maybe I judge wrongly. But I've been noticing a change in that teenager's life. Came up to me the night of Calvary Academy graduation. Quietly, simply, said, Pastor, I want to encourage you. She said, you don't let the devil get you and Sister Joy down. She said, I don't know if God revealed it to her. She had a dream or something. But I mean, it was one of those moments when it was total
total focus, total communication. She said, I see that the devil has tried everything that he can to try to pull you back from the things that God has done, from the spirit of revival, from the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And she said, I want you and Sister Joy to be encouraged. And that teenager spoke courage in my heart. We've got to speak courage into one another's hearts. Let's don't put one another down. Let's don't push each other down. Let's pick one another up. Let's love one another. You can go to this church and go straight to hell. You can attend this church on a Sunday basis and go straight to hell. It's up to you on the inside. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I want to serve God.